Are you wondering how you can contribute to Funniest Thing?
Don't flip out. Go to patreon.com/funniest thing.
Whoa!
Oh!
I landed that.
Oh!
That would have been crazy.
This one is called The Pants. Take 8.
Yoga!
Welcome to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio. We all know the funniest things happen when we stop taking ourselves too seriously and step out boldly, like Mr. Magoo blindly stepping onto the next swinging girder and falling into an outrageous jackpot. Your hosts, Daryl and Ed, are about to administer a refreshing dose of laughter and love that will inspire you to step out boldly and experience the funniest things. Now, here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed.
Welcome to The Funniest Thing.
Yes.
Where each week we share stories about how stepping out boldly always leads to better than expected outcomes.
Yes, it does.
I'm Daryl.
I'm Ed.
And we're broadcasting live from Chobo Studios in beautiful
downtown Van Nuys.
Yes, we are. And today's title on the whiteboard says
Funniest Thing with Happy Thoughts.
Yes.
Thank you, Indy. How are you feeling today, buddy?
Doing great, doing great. Saturday is my favorite day of the week because it's Funniest Thing Day.
You sure it's not because of sausage McMuffins?
Well, that too, of course.
And strong coffee. Well, we're excited because we have a great show called Living the Law of Increase with Wayne the Man Manning. Gratitude is the law of increase and complaint is the law of decrease. Keep on the side of thanksgiving. Complaint is believing in thoughts that have no foundation in absolute truth. They originate out of the intellect. Such thoughts are eliminated by denying their reality and power and affirming the truth of being. Then, their outer expressions and manifestations disappear also. Thank God for the knowledge of this truth. Thank God for all the good you have received and all the good your future holds. When you change your mind, life has no choice but to recluster itself according to this new level of vibration at which you are operating. On this episode, Daryl and Ed, that's us, encourage you and ourselves to thank and grow rich. And during the second segment, the modern mystic Wayne Manning, a unity legend, keeps us thanking our way to success with today's reading, Given Thanks. Shout out to John Strickland, who's coming on next week, who actually was the one who recommended Wayne Manning. So we knew we were going to be in good hands.
Yes, we did. And should we kick it off with today's breaths?
Yeah, you want to, since you're I'll excited, tell you, these are born out of your excitement. So let's hear about it.
Because, you know, the law of increase is gratitude. Gratitude is the law of increase. And complaint is the law of decrease. And even if you know this stuff and you've read it over and over, like me, you'll still catch yourself complaining, doubting, and worrying. And one good piece of advice I just, that's in You Too Can Be Prosperous, the book by Robert Russell.
Great book.
In there, if you have one of these negative persistent worries because you're going through a situation, could be a healing, you could have some physical thing going on and you're telling yourself some doubt and worry, you know, am I ever going to heal? Am I really going to heal? Or something's going on in your finances. Oh no, we're never going to get out of this. Well, his suggestion, which is great. Now, remember, that's not thanking. Those thoughts are not grateful thoughts.
Right.
So that's operating in the law of decrease. And those thoughts, we know they're not true because they feel so bad. And what Robert Russell suggests, which I love, is you take that thought and you write it on a scrap of paper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thought of, is this ever going to heal? I doubt this is going to heal. Or I doubt we're going to see a turn for the better in our finances. Like, that's, you identified the persistent, you know this is the negative thought. You know you no longer want to be thinking that because you know that's not going to help in any way.
Right.
If anything, it just chokes you off from any good occurring or any positive solutions coming to mind from God, you know, intuitively or inspiration. You're choking all that off. So just write that down. And he says, just throw it in the trash or throw it in a box. And we've talked before on shows about using a God box and always writing in the affirmative,
yeah.
You know, seeing yourself at the end.
Yeah.
Like, that's what this show is all about, thanking in advance. Hmm. So I started thinking about this as I was driving here, and I noticed complaints all the time going through my head. You know, as I'm driving, I'll start complaining in my mind. You don't want to admit it, but if you're really watching your mind, you'll see him pop up.
Yep.
So I started saying, I stopped because any complaint is I'm spanking some. I'm either spanking others or I'm spanking myself. And what I'm really doing is I'm seeing myself as entitled and a victim at the same time. Because
right.
Anytime I'm getting these upset yes. thoughts, it's because, well, it shouldn't be happening that way.
Right.
But on the other hand, by me saying it shouldn't happen that way, this complaining is reinforcing that yeah. I'm a victim.
Right.
So I said to myself on the way here, I started going, I stop spanking and I start thanking.
Yes.
And it started real, because it's so ridiculous. And I love Florence Scovel Shinn. And we're going to read something from Chelly Campbell.
Yeah.
And Florence Scovel Shinn says, don't be afraid, or matter of fact, she recommends using silly affirmations
yeah.
because the theory is your reasoning mind, your critical mind, because it's so serious all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Just disregards it. Oh, let him have his fun.
Right. Let
Daryl have his fun saying these silly little nursery sounding rhymes. But that's good because then it drops right into the subconscious. And you know it did because it gives you a lift. It gives you a hopeful feeling.
I got to tell you this because just before, first of all, two things. One, the word should, we've talked about it before. The origin is scold. It's like the same root. So that's why. It's connected to spanking. Should. I should. They should.
Yeah.
It's just like, but I recommended a friend of mine who I've known since third grade do some affirmations. Or he said he wanted to start adding it because he does like some yoga and meditation with his kids. He wants to add affirmations. So I told him, use the ones that I used with those
yeah.
kids. Well, those young men, excuse me. And so he started looking through them. And then he said, okay, I'm going to use one affirmation today and I'm going to explain it. And I said, just do the affirmation. Don't worry about explaining.
Yeah.
And he said, just because he's, you know, like he said, by that logic, it could be another language. What's the benefit if they don't understand? So I just said, it works in the consciousness. I'm telling you, they
yes.
get it. Just do it. But that's that voice
that,
inside of us.
That voice that
yes.
just said that
yeah.
is the same voice
yes.
that thinks that all this that we learn, this practical Christianity
yes.
is too silly to work.
It's the Pharisees in
yes,
the times
yes.
of Jesus.
That, and
right?
that voice is not just in his head. It's in our heads, too.
It's the voice, too, that you said yesterday. Like, I saw some miracles with my students this week practicing this stuff. And
yeah.
a kid that I just was having fun with, I came up with this game to try to find this stuffed owl. And as a result of that, he started writing sentences on Post-it notes. Now, he has a goal to write sentences. I had to go with this weird hunch to just let him play this game. I didn't know he was going to start doing his goal to write sentences, but he came up with it. So those same voices are the same ones that you were talking about. Like, if I like share that with the wrong person within the school district, it'll be somewhat dismissed because it doesn't fit into the paradigm of how kids are supposed to learn,
right.
what they're supposed to do, and how you're supposed, what the data, you know. And it's just like, at some point, we just got to really be, like Daryl's talking about, having fun and trusting and using affirmations like this and really realize that's where the power is. Joy really is the strength of the Lord.
Well, it's a miracle you did that because the tendency in those environments is to say, okay, enough playing around with the lost rabbit. It's time to do sentences. And that just shuts everything down.
That's the stop thanking and start spanking philosophy. And that's why it was so amazing, too, because I felt the spanker in my mind.
Yes.
And I almost shut it down. But I've been practicing this stuff, so I didn't shut it down. And I went with what I knew inside off of feeling. But it was just like you said, I had to ignore the urge to get into that spanking mode.
To be the teacher. Yeah. No, we're going to take no time for bunnies.
Now, this kid, this kid just recently went up over 200% on his math assessment and equally on his reading. So whatever's going on with that, this stuff that we stumbled into, we're sharing here, this stuff works, man. It is crazy.
Yeah, so don't be afraid of silly affirmations, and you don't have to explain them.
That's key. That's key, because that's been one of the voices for me in the past is, it would short circuit my application because I go, how am I ever going to explain this to anyone else? It's like, dude, take care of yourself first. Feel the miracle. It's better to feel the miracle and not be able to explain it than to ignore the miracle because you're worried about explaining it. All right, will you do the first one today?
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
We're going to take a deep breath. I stop spanking and I start thanking.
I stop spanking and I start thanking.
I stop spanking and I start thanking.
Yes. Well, yes.
Well, along those lines, I got a great kickoff from Florence Scovel Shinn.
Kick it off, baby.
This is a book you could get online. It's called, now, there's two versions of this book. If you're looking on YouTube, I'm holding up the version we like.
But 5 out of 6 metaphysicians enjoy this book.
Yeah, it's called The Magic Path of Intuition, Florence Scovel Shinn. It's on Amazon.
Yes.
There's another version of this book that's put out by Hay House, but it's in a hard cover and it has so many designs and decorations throughout with the printing over it. It kind of gets in the way.
Yeah, it's distracting.
It's distracting from just getting the message.
At some point in your path, likely, or at least in my path, and Daryl was, when I first met Daryl, he always was like, I like the simple ones that just give you the medicine. You know, because back then I was reading ones that maybe Wayne Dyer, where it's always, there's a lot more,
explaining.
Yeah. And there's then there's a lot more personality.
Yes.
And not as much principle, right? It's like, I did this and I, you know, it's like, but the books that have leaned more towards principle now are the ones that I lean towards because it's really like an instruction manual for our brain.
Yes, it is.
How to live life. And that's what I want, the instruction manual. I don't want, the instruction manual is not the game. It is like, I realized this recently, the game of life and how to play it. It's like the original video game. Life is the video game, and this is just the instruction manual.
Yes.
Read it, and then you know how to play the game. But the fun is in the game. I mean, of course, it's uplifting to read this, but the game is where the fun really happens.
Well, it's like the same analogy could be put is you gave someone a recipe for chocolate chip cookies because he loved your chocolate chip cookies.
Right.
And you ask him a week later, how you like the chocolate chip cookies? And he goes, well, you know, I read the recipe. And I go, yeah, but.
And then most likely, if that's the person, they'll be like, they'll rattle off 5 names of the greatest chocolate chip makers of all time. Yeah. And it's like, yeah, but have you had one yet?
Yeah. I gave you the instructions. You can make these in like 20 minutes.
No, but I got a poster of the greatest maker.
Famous
of,
Amos. And a famous Amos.
I got a famous Amos tattoo on my shoulder.
All right, here we go, folks. This is great news. Remember, demand could... synonymous with demand is a choice, a decision.
Yes.
You know, those are synonymous with a demand. So the minute you make your demand, infinite spirit knows the way of fulfillment. Only doubt, fear, or reasoning keeps away your good. Your blessing is already there, waiting for you to believe it is possible to accomplish. Worry and fear will push it away from you. Sometimes a demonstration comes to pass through a counter-irritant. A student told me she had wanted a certain business enterprise to be a success. She agonized and fretted over it. Then something else came into her life to worry her, which took her thoughts completely off the business. She forgot to worry about it. Suddenly, she had a telephone message saying the deal had gone through, followed by a large check. She had shifted her worried thoughts long enough for the deal to go through. When you have completely put to flight your worries, there will be nothing to interfere with the immediate manifestation of every good and perfect gift, for your heart's desire is no longer a heart's disease, meaning worrying, how is this going to happen? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Live fully in the wonderful now, with joyful expectance, knowing that God is the how, God is the when, and God is the where.
Dude, I got to tell you that quick story. Well, can you got to help me like move this story along, but I woke up Tuesday night in like with a panic feeling, and my right ear was so plugged up that I felt like I was in like a room. And like I could, you know what I mean? Like, because I was woke up to that, it felt like super disorienting. So I was like, well, and I had been flying high on the wings of the Lord and you know, having loving these principles. And all of a sudden, I'm in a panic, right? And
everything goes out the window sometimes. Yeah. Even though I know it, all of a sudden, I don't feel like myself in those moments. Right. It's like I'm a whole different person.
Yeah. You're nailing it, because you said it the other day. It's like it's not realizing that that's not me, not the divine me. So I sat there, and because we were practicing this stuff, I said I'm going to treat the condition, the concern in my mind. I'm going to treat the concern, and it took everything I had, and not the condition, because my brain was going like, where am I going to go get this thing healed? What am I going to do? And then they would go, but it's not going to happen. No one can help me. And I'm like, I'm not even going to try to treat that condition. I'm going to treat this level of concern I have. And then I realized this is not all of a sudden. I had been feeling claustrophobic at work. Everything had been feeling like it was swirling around. I was feeling like I was in a room by myself. It manifested in this outer condition, right? So I just made like Daryl said, I got the eye of the tiger. I was just like, I am committed to not treating this condition. I'm going to treat the concern. If I can and I see someone, I'm not even going to bring this up. Like, even if I'm sitting here in this weird world floating around, I'm not going to tell them. I'm just going to keep treating. So Daryl's can kick me in the ass for this, but I went to work instead of going back to sleep, because one part I realized after meditating, I let go. That little plug in my ear went from being my whole world was this little to just being a little part of my ear. Like, okay, this is no big deal. It's just a little part of God in me is so much bigger. Of course it's going to clear. I fell asleep. I woke up realizing, oh my God, one of the things I needed was rest.
Yes.
Rest is so important. If I don't rest, I'm running my body ragged. And of course it's going to have something happen, you know? So, but then I kind of, oh, well, I'm good now. I'll go to work. And I should have just leaned over, took a day off, and went back to sleep. But I didn't. I went to work. Still, I got a million things done in like 20 minutes, like, crazy amount of stuff got done. But I was still, because of that exhaustion, I was like leaning back toward the angst, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Because when we don't have enough sleep, then we're susceptible to worry, doubt, fear, anger.
Right. So I hop in my car and I drive to get one thing. There's this there's an acupuncturist I know, amazing guy named Jeremiah Krieger. He recommended these herbs for me one time that seemed to boost my immune system and decongest things. So I was like, first thing I'll do, well, I did take some Flonase, but then I also went to the herb store. And I'm driving there, I was like, you know, I would have loved to get acupuncture because I drove right past his place. But I went to the herb store, got the herbs, amazing people there. I kept blessing my condition, blessing the condition, treating the concern, and went in my car. And everywhere I'd go, I'd have to like release the panic from that condition, you know, because it would come back up again, you know, like. It would start to feel like, oh, the world's closing in. So I just bless. I close my eyes for 2 seconds. I open my eyes. there's the acupuncturist. He had an hour open up in his schedule, and he had walked down to the herbal store. So he's like, I'm going to have a tea. And because I was open to God, I didn't rush back to school.
I got to get back to school.
Yes.
Ugh.
Instead, I walked in and had a tea with him. And he put, and he like, I didn't know this, but he like runs the place. Like he walked behind the counter. I'm like, whoa, you could do that? Made himself, me and him teas. He's putting in tinctures. We sit. We start talking. And we both got a spiritual psychology master's together. That's how I met him. So we have like common ground in some of this stuff. And he's very down to earth. We start talking. I'm getting high as a kite. I forget all about the ear. I start telling him about my son. My son was did an internship for A&R at Warner Music. One of the artists happens to be. I just happen to mention this artist. This guy, the acupuncturist, has been following that artist since the artist used to play shows for like 200 people. He used to go see him. Now the guy's becoming a global phenomenon. Like, and so he's like, oh my God. Tell your friend who does A&R, because he's like the right-hand man for this artist. He's like, I'll do acupuncture, hook him up anytime. He's like, I don't usually do celebrity type stuff, but he seems like such a sweet guy. I'd love to hook him up. So I was like, do you have a card? He didn't have a card. I said, I'll walk back with to your office to get the card. On the way, we had the most uplifting talk. It turned out to be like a 30-minute walk. I thought it was like right down the street. But I just went there to get his card so I could pass it off to my friend. He's like, man, thank you so much for this chat. How about I give you acupuncture? So the acupuncture I had desired, he gave it to me, and it was so healing. I went back to my car. All this stuff happened, and I called Silent Unity. I even went to a Kaiser clinic just to see what they thought. I took their suggestion. I listened to my wife when she, because my mind was, I got to tell you, there's been.
You're going to go back to work.
Yeah, but it was also saying you're never going to get your hearing back because there was something with my brother that happened. You're never, this is, you know, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh God, that's horrible.
It was bringing in, and I just had to keep saying no. I just kept thinking, any moment my ear could clear. You know, like.
Yes, any moment.
Any moment. But that was, it took, as silly as that sounds, it took every bit of willingness on my part to keep going back to that. I did what they said. I went to the Kaiser, then the clinic.
The Kaiser?
The Kaiser clinic, yeah. It felt like I was going to the Kaiser. The woman wasn't that
Kaiser
uplifting. She didn't give me the greatest sense, but I just blessed her. I blessed everyone everywhere I went. I took the suggestion. I took the two shots of Flonase and the herbs. I went to sleep. I affirmed. Oh, and that night, this was the clincher. Because of the way we've been practicing this stuff, all of a sudden, I had this, like, you know, you get, like, that superpower of faith comes through.
Yeah, we're all.
I said, as a child.
You become convinced yes. that it's not going to linger.
Yeah, because I said to myself, I am not, at the very least, I'm not going to lend my imagination to imagining the worst. I'm just going to stop doing that. And then I got this surge. I said, as a child of God, in the name of Jesus. My ear is cleared. I feel it. My energy is flowing. And I went to sleep, and I think I woke up 2 hours later, and I was out of that room. I could hear again. And the next day, amazing. And not only was I out of the room of the ear, but now I wasn't feeling that claustrophobia at work either. I let all that go. And that took some doing, too, because I had to say to myself, I don't know how trusting God is going to work better than this mind that's going race to work, do this, do that. I said, I just had to be like, I don't know how. Because in right now, I was so hypnotized by those old worries. I couldn't see around it, but I just declared with my faith, I know it always works. God will see me through. And then later that evening, I ended up having an amazing surf with the A&R guy and was able to hand him the information for the acupuncture. Everything just
fell together.
Boom. Oh, yeah. And then the other thing was my ear cleared. I went to work. And the guy who came to work with me as a substitute assistant had lost all the hearing in his right ear, for real, though, and had this amazing story of how his life had taken these twists and turns. And he had the best attitude. He was literally becoming an audio engineer in school. And right before he graduated, there was like a tumor in his right ear. And so he like had to turn it all over to God. He ended up getting into the camera work angle. But because I had had that experience, as silly as it sounds, that connection we had blew my mind. The serendipity of it. And because I had applied, like, It's the little things that keep happening. Like Reverend Ike said, and I'm so glad you brought up the word demand in Florence Scovel Shinn, because I had a chat with some people this week who had a problem with the word demand. Like, should I really be demanding? But I applied it to what Reverend Ike said, which is when we're praying, we're really praying to our own subconscious mind to change. God is principle. We don't have to change God. What we're changing is our, so when we demand, we are demanding that our subconscious mind get on board. We're not demanding anything from God. We're demanding our own subconscious mind really know, we mean it. And we, so it's our own subconscious mind that we're demanding. Wake up, see the salvation of the Lord, see the solution. It's here. I know it's here. And when our subconscious mind, Daryl's been saying this forever, accepts that we mean it, and really accepts that it's true, that's when the game gets fun. And that's when all manner of stuff starts to happen.
Well, you know what else? God did for you what you couldn't do for yourself.
What was it?
All those things prevented you from racing back to work. Because then you were stuck. Oh, now I got to walk with this guy 30 minutes. Oh, right. I could just see you going, oh.
Yeah, yeah.
So it kept forcing you out of that trance.
It actually did. Yeah, you're 100% right.
And also,
it was actually a little scary. I'm glad you admitted that. Just so everyone's practicing this, why we call it stepping out boldly. There's some level of trepidation. Like, I'm doing something new. I might get in trouble for this or something.
Well, you never heard the story of Edison?
Let's lay it on me.
I can't believe, what did they teach you in the...
I know, I do think I know what you're talking about, but just share it. Not always do I. Like I told you, history fell on deaf ears, on no pun intended for me growing up, because it was so friggin' boring. But when I met you, I told you, you're the first person who ever made like history meaningful for me. So
well,
go ahead.
When he was a child, something happened that caused him to go deaf in his one ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so... he probably had that same sense that you were feeling, and he just used it to focus in on his creative, intuitive inventiveness since he was a young boy. And look what it led to.
Yeah, and you pointed out, and I was thinking it too. It's like, I needed to block out all the outside noise and go within. There's definitely a metaphor there. And for Edison to blow the doors off of the paradigms that he was blowing, he needed to shut off the outside noise and do what he was here to do. So that makes total sense.
Yeah, man. In elementary school, a teacher taught us, because I grew up right next to Edison, New Jersey.
Right.
Which was a town named after him. It's where his laboratories were. It was where the first movies were ever made, where the light bulb was invented.
So many things came out of New Jersey. Even cowboy hats we discovered. It's crazy. I thought you were just a braggart, but it's true.
What's the name of the company?
Stetson.
It's a New Jersey. Started in New Jersey.
In New Jersey.
So I remember the story because our elementary school teacher, I don't know if this part is true or not, but it was a conductor and it was during the winter and he wanted, I guess, a little young Thomas Edison wasn't getting aboard the trolley in time.
Yeah.
And the conductor just grabbed him by the ear and said, "You get in there, young man." And that's what caused the deafness in his ear. So they had a way of teaching back then that you would never forget.
Right. And it goes along with, we do have to keep blessing everything, like Dugan would say. I wonder what good is coming, because the good is always coming. Always, always, always coming. So we have to learn to view everything that happens as a link in the golden chain of our good, man. Let me read this quick story from Chelly. This is our last week's guest, Chelly Campbell, gave us the book, The Wealthy Spirit, Daily Affirmations for Financial Stress Reduction. I recommend it. It's a daily reader. I never heard this told this way before. She might have got it from somewhere, but called The Waitress and the Short Order Cook. And remember, we're talking about the law of increase this week. Two men look out through the same bars. One sees the mud and one sees the stars. That's from Frederick Langbridge, but you said you've heard that attributed to many people.
James Allen's book.
Okay. So, but here's the story. The waitress has worked here since time began. Ageless and calm, her eyes see through to the end of the world. She smacks her gum, gives the customer a lopsided grin, and smoothly asks in her professional voice, "May I take your order now?" She stands there expectantly, pencil poised to write on her pad.
I don't know exactly what I'm hungry for. I can't make a mistake. I'm really sorry. This is taking so long. I'm so stupid. In discomfort and confusion, the customer gropes for the right words in the right order. One don't, one can't, and a side order of shame. The waitress hollers to the cook. He stands behind the counter, ready to serve up another batch of cold reality. He's heard this order before. In a second, the plate is prepared. I really want to help people. I don't care about the money, the customer explains. Hold the money, the waitress hollers. The cook silently removes the money from the plate. A new customer bursts into the diner. I'll have the talent, drive, and determination to be a top-caliber professional writer. I write a book that helps many people and easily makes me rich and famous. The waitress laughs and gives the order to the cook. One successful bestseller smothered in money and a side order of fame. It's already been delivered, the cook smiles. This is Earth's Universal Diner, where you always get exactly what you ask for. Would you like to change your order? Today's affirmation, I always get exactly what I want.
Yeah, watch what we're ordering. So
don't listen to the Rolling Stones.
Speaking of fame, we should thank
Jeff Comfort.
Out in Kansas City, right on the border.
The best barbecue I've ever had.
And if you're listening to us on any of the audio podcast apps, you could thank Jeff Comfort. Because each week
he takes us
right into the comfort zone.
Also, big love to the people in Patreon who are contributing through Patreon, patreon.com/funniest thing. Every Tuesday at 4 p.m., we've been doing a prosperity Zoom. Susan Sly out in the UK said, Rhonda, what about an online class? Rhonda, you know who you are. Hey, guys, love being able to listen back to this because you can listen to the recording afterwards if you're not able to make the actual Zoom, which many people do. Thank you so much. Hope to be up late next Tuesday. Also, love seeing the Michigan trees, and I have been to Cedar Point. And
I got to read this one thing from Ponder.
Yes, and then we'll go to the break and bring in Wayne the Man Manning.
Well, because last week I talked about how much systematic tithing has been benefiting me because I've always given, but I've never given generously, but I've never actually really systematically had been applying.
Yeah, tithing 10%.
Yes, up front the beginning of the month.
Right,
and one of the letters, and it's I shared the story last week's episode. But in a nutshell, this is one of the things that inspired me. I got this letter a while back in December from Catherine Ponder, and it says, as you use fearlessly what you have, it multiplies.
Yes.
So dare to do the fearless thing. Fearlessly praise, bless, and use what is at hand. This is the way to double instead of diminish your good.
Yes.
This is the way to help others double their good. There is prospering power in fearlessness. And then she's thanking me here. Your generous act of giving is not only an act of charity, but an act of fearlessness. As we dare to fearlessly praise, bless, and use your gift to help others through this ministry, we have faith that your good will double and that the good this ministry is able to do for others will double too. And we could say that to all of you who've been contributing through Patreon. So thank you very much.
Yes, because you could have all the good in the world, but until we start praising it and really evaluating it, appreciating it, growing that value, we can overlook it. Like everyone who is contributing, someone this week bumped like a 400% increase in their Patreon, so it's feeling inspired. But this really is like the original Unity Movement. We're just putting it out there to bless people so they can have this information and transform their life for the better to be who they want to be, not who you want to be, not what someone else has been telling you.
Exactly.
It's written in your own heart, and hopefully, and I know this is true, these teachings, because it's not just Daryl and Ed, we say it, these are principles. And so they're working, and I know they're working in our life because they're working in our lives, in Wayne's life, and in Indy's life. And so coming up next, the modern mystic, Unity legend, Wayne Manning, keeps us thanking our way to success with today's reading, Giving Thanks. Thank you for listening to Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed from Chobo Studio.
We now return to The Funniest Thing. Here are your hosts, Daryl and Ed, the best-looking guys on the radio.
All right. Welcome back to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. This week's show is called Living the Law of Increase with Wayne Manning. We have Wayne with us today. I didn't know you were in California, Wayne. How are you doing, buddy?
California. I'm doing great.
Was that a tattoo on your arm?
You guys are doing great.
Is that a tattoo on your wrist?
It is.
What do we have there?
Well, you should see it this way.
Ah. Okay. Oh, it's an and. Is it?
It is. Have I got it centered? I can't quite tell. Is it okay?
Yeah, that looks good. What do we got?
Okay, that is a zodiac sign. A stylized Taurus.
I thought that might be the case. I have a style. Yeah, go ahead.
My wife has her sign on the inside of her left wrist.
Wow.
So when manically holding hands, the signs come together in an interesting way. So there we go.
Dude.
It's the only tattoo I have, but it always, it's a good conversation starter when people see it. What is that? So it's a Taurus with stylized horns, basically.
Wayne Manning. You never know.
Who's going to have a tattoo?
This might change Daryl's mind about tattoos, man. Fantastic. I have my zodiac is Cancer. I'm not going to bust it out, but I have a crab on my stomach. What does Indy have here?
He's got Del Sol.
This is the reggae band I was in high school.
Oh, nice. Is that also your zodiac sign?
Oh, yeah. I'm a Del Sol, baby.
Yes, you know, yes.
Of the sun.
But inside my shirt, there is a crab that's quite large, but it has a heart on the shell because I had it not guarded, open-hearted. But I also have my, that's my birth sign. And I know Tauruses and Cancerians get along well.
Yeah, and it's interesting. My wife Deb's sign is Cancer.
Ah.
And she had hers tattooed on her left wrist to celebrate overcoming breast cancer a number of years ago. And so it has a sort of a double meaning for her.
Brilliant.
And then when we got together, I decided I wanted to have something to complement that. And so I just did a sign on the opposite wrist. So
cool, man. Dude, that's awesome. So
wow.
Yeah, right? So we've been yapping on, sharing what we know about things. Has that inspired some thoughts in you while you're sitting there in the green room listening?
I'm sorry, ask the question.
Oh, yes. I was just wondering what's on your mind after hearing what we've been discussing. Was there anything that was bubbling up that you wanted to share straight away?
It was fascinating just to sit here in this chair with no a particular demand on me and listening to what you were saying and how much resonance I was experiencing with that. And your use of the word demand, that was very interesting because we often do, in our normal walking around life, we confuse, demand with being demanding or obnoxious or overbearing or, like that, selfish. But the way I love to use it in the work we do is to not be demanding, but to be a demand, much like a sponge is a demand for water, right? Mm. A baby is a demand for mother's milk. My lungs are a demand for air. And as beings, we are demands for wholeness. We are demands for whatever good can come in. So to be a demand, I mean, there was a time when people were a demand for Beanie Babies. Remember, give me all the Beanie Babies available. And so they weren't demanding Beanie Babies. They were a demand for the phenomenon of Beanie Babies in those days. Yeah. I don't know what it is today, but I just gave away my age too, probably. Back that far. But to be a demand is a very powerful thing, because it's a way of being, not an obnoxious way of doing.
Oh, nice. That's great, huh?
David Capitine should listen to this episode.
Yeah.
We have a couple of friends who, because exactly what you shared, you know, most people, even within myself, I feel a little tiny little shudder when I see demand, because I think it goes along with those connotations of being demanding, shoving, bullying, you know, to get my way, selfish, like you put it. And now this puts a whole way to unlock that type of idea completely from the word.
That's incredible. I love that, because that really makes it affirmative.
Yes.
I am a demand. I came here to be a demand on you, to draw forth things and bring things forward. And like pretending I'm not is a lie. It's painful. It does not work. It diminishes our role as human beings and as expressions of the divine. So I love that, Wayne. That's incredible.
Yeah. So it was fascinating to listen to the conversation, to the readings, the ideas that came out of that. All along, you have both referred to, if I don't like this thought, change it. You know, I can change. It's the one power that we truly have. You know, we talk about what power do I have, and sometimes we can experience feeling totally powerless. But the one power we have is to choose the next thought we're going to think. Nobody can make that choice but me. What am I going to entertain next in my brain? If I don't like it, I can change it. Now, I'm talking about, I don't want that to sound absolute. There are brain conditions, there are chemical imbalances, there are physical trauma where the brain doesn't work, you know, for some people, unfortunately. But for most of us walking around in our lives, we choose what we think, for good or ill. And so if I finally have had enough of the way I've been thinking, I can change that thought. One of my mentors, Maria Nemeth, says that, you know, today, the thoughts I think today are about 90% the same thoughts I thought yesterday, and hardly any of them have any real value. Let's look for that 10% of thoughts that have value and repeat those, not the 90% that just keeps my normal lack of progress in play. So,
yeah.
Well, another thing, too, I have to always be on guard for. It's my Achilles heel with my thinking, is the ideas that I hear from others, like the news, you know, or seeing a post, you know, especially the news, YouTube, you know, it might look innocuous, but something in me says, no, it's okay for you to take a peek at this. It won't hurt. And now this whole mentality that was not even light years from my train of thought previously, light years away, is now, whoom, it's like I put a helmet on.
Right.
And now I'm like thinking all these fearful ideas that go along with that thought that was just, I chose to accept as now my own. And when those get in there, we got to realize it really is being hypnotized. Do I want to be hypnotized by this?
Right.
And if I want to, well, then go ahead, Daryl, but you know what you're getting. You know, it's just like eating too much chocolate. But I can't do it. I mean, I'm really seeing, and I think this is what they mean by, the road gets narrower. It doesn't mean it gets harder. It just means that the more sensitive I've become to these spiritual ideas, the more experience I have feeling good as a result of thinking in harmony with these principles, the less tolerance I have for anything that contradicts it. And I immediately feel the awful emotional distress that comes from grabbing a hold of those other ideas, which is a good thing, because there was a time in my life where I think most of the time I felt the low-level discomfort all the time, because A, I was accepting all anything I read, anything I heard, and I didn't know. I thought every thought I had was true. I didn't know that I could choose new thoughts. It didn't seem to be that simple. It seemed like these thoughts are real, they exist, and this is the truth. And now you got to figure out how you're going to muscle your way out of this out there. And the big gift that all this has given me, the greatest gift, is that as within, so without. That as what goes on in here, I will experience in my circumstances. That's why that's in the today's description, that complaint is belief in thoughts that have no foundation in absolute truth. And I will say that's why they feel so horrible. So we know that we can let go of them. They originate out of our intellect. I don't know if I got that from Fillmore or if I read it to you from somewhere or if it was from Holmes, but I like that they have no power. They just originate out of my intellect, not out of my heart. And then the best part is that, okay, thank God for all the good you have received. Here it is. Thank God for the knowledge of this truth. Thank God for all the good you have received and all the good your future holds. When you change your mind, life has no choice but to recluster itself according to the new level of vibration at which you are operating. And something I read last night that really helped me is, once a choice is made in my mind for good, because good is the only real power there is. So once a choice is made in my mind for good, God or the universe, whatever you want to call it, boom, starts reclustering things to cooperate with that, because I'm cooperating with that.
Correct.
There's nothing in my mind obstructing it, like you were saying.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think, you know, one of the things I hear you saying, what you are willing to do for that path to become ever more narrow, you're willing to practice in your life what was happening on the inside.
Yes.
You are practicing. And I think that, for me, practice is the whole key. It's like the old line, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah. Right.
How do I get the consciousness I desire in my life? It's practice, practice,
yes,
practice. And to me, it's like, if you can imagine a field full of cattle, you'll see paths where the cattle have wanted to walk the same way and they create a path. The way those paths go away is take the cattle away so they can't walk it anymore. Well, you and I have paths in our field of consciousness the same way. The path is worn by the thoughts we think. And if I'm tired of the kind of thoughts and the kind of path I've been walking, my best bet is to start thinking different thoughts, creating new paths. And when I do, those old paths begin to grow over again. So, and the path grows ever more narrow that I'm walking
right,
in a way that's useful to me and to those around me. So practice, 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 whatever it is. And I don't care if it comes from unity or Hinduism or Buddhism or Shinto, whatever it comes from, practice what's true and what's right about that, and do no harm, and life can have some pretty interesting adventures after that.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe that totally. And I believe that we came, like when you say it, just, we came here with demands. I believe we came here willingly with a desire for certain things. And then as we've been here, our desires have evolved. And before we've even asked, the non-physical part of ourselves that's beyond this becomes that. That's why there's a pressure to let it in. And that's why resisting it doesn't feel good, because before we've even asked, the larger part of us becomes the things we desire. And our job is to practice and let it come through. Otherwise, we could just stay stagnant and it wouldn't matter. But we came here on this mission to experience these things. And what happens is sometimes, like in my case, there's old pathways of self-condemnation there. And that part of me thinks it knows how, even though it's never happened before, it thinks it knows how it should happen. And it doesn't. We never do. But it'll start jumping in. Something looks like it's not going the way I thought it was going to go. And it'll start going into self-condemnation. And the great minister, Reverend Michael Schoonover at Unity Way in Vista down there in San Diego, sends us all this great old Unity literature every week. Thank you, Michael. And he sent us something from Lowell Fillmore, who I love Lowell Fillmore's writings. I'm just going to read the last paragraph because it says, "Do not condemn yourself." That was the writing. And it's from 1945, April 21st, in Weekly Unity. He says, "All things are possible with God. And since God is within you, all things are possible to you. There's no need to condemn yourself. Give yourself a boost." Now this is really helpful when that condemnation, those old pathways just start going, and it can be, I'm trapped, you know? But not, and he says, give yourself a boost, not an egotistical boost, but a good, humble, spiritual lifting up, so that you will feel as Jesus did when he said, I speak not from myself, but the Father abiding in me doeth his works. Remember that all things are possible to you with the help of God. God working through you cannot fail. And, you know, by me letting go of the concern with my ear, I don't even know how much that transformed the day, as it made me receptive to the day that God already had planned for me. It made me receptive to the good that came along. It made me receptive to the nudges that were already there. You know, and of course, we can look at it in many different ways, but I really just have coming more and more to accept God is good and is always providing. So these affirmations are just creating, because whatever pathways I have active are, that's how God is getting into my experience, through those pathways of thought. So the bigger and the more open and trusting and loving and joyous, the more of that goodness can get in. And it's just literally mind-blowing how good things can get immediately.
You know, we could posit two aspects of reality, for example. There's metaphysical reality, which we understand and know about. And then there's physical reality. And it could be said that our job is to bring that which is a metaphysical reality into physical reality. And again, the idea is practice. And that's what I hear you saying you did is you know that in metaphysical reality, your ear is fine. The ear is an ear, and it's doing what an ear is supposed to do. In physical reality, that wasn't showing up the way you wanted, but you were able to bring it from one domain to the other by practicing what you practiced.
Yeah.
Right. Otherwise, if we just stay in metaphysical reality, we metafizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. You're true. Yeah. We got to have our feet on the ground.
We're in this framework. We're in these bodies for whatever reason beyond, you know, behind our knowing. So our job is to use what's here, use what we have, use our physicality to bring that dream into visibility.
Right. Yeah. God has ways we know not of. I just wanted to also say, when you were talking about people with challenges in their brain, or I've worked with special needs people for 27 years, and I have found that when I speak to their wholeness, it doesn't matter what the data says, or they get it. Something inside them awakens. God within them finds a way to go around the normal brain channels, whatever. I don't know if it's just a vibration or whatever it is, but they get it. Miracles happen. I talked about this with the kids that I work with. This miracles happen because within every person is a divine potential that is not limited by anything on this earthly plane. It doesn't care what it looks like. It will come out when, if given any pathway. Period. It's like water. It will go around. It will find a way through, and it will happen. And it is amazing. And that's why, that's what I think I bring. And that's why I've been able to stay with education for so long, because it's just fascinating It reaffirms my faith in the divine every day because it just blows the doors off of that voice that thinks it knows. I've been using the phrase lately, same data, different conclusion. I'm getting the same data that everyone else is, but I come to a very different conclusion because of these principles and these teachings.
You know what? You just helped me realize, Wayne, with the idea of these grooves in our brain, it's amazing. These teachings have been around for thousands and thousands of years. And the more my mind wakes up, I can see the connections of how similar it is. Because I started thinking when you were saying that, you know, going the well, you know, the well-worn groove of the old way that I always thought. It's me against the world. This idea of God is, you know, like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus. I mean, that's for little old ladies and infants. That's not going to work for me. I need something that works, you know, something medical, something real.
Yeah.
All those old way, you know, paths in my brain that didn't bring me any relief, folks. I didn't want to say none of those thoughts brought relief. These ideas bring relief and more, not just relief mentally, emotionally, but seeming miraculous changes in my circumstances for the better. So I started thinking, you let those old paths grow over because we're not walking down them in that line, in that train of thought. But I started thinking, this is almost can go along with the metaphysical. Now, this is my own metaphysical idea of Jesus when he says to his followers, his disciples, I am the way. I am the way. But what he was really saying in Daryl's head was those guys were doing a Daryl and Ed, and they started taking the long way of worry, doubt, and outlining all the obstacles they were going to have to overcome. And Jesus metaphysically in my mind was saying, I know a shortcut, guys. I know a shortcut.
Yes.
The shortcut is stop the worrying, stop the doubting, and definitely stop outlining that there's going to be obstacles and start, please, just get like a child and just believe that this stuff is possible. I'm doing it. You know, I'm the way showers. Like he's saying, follow the leader doesn't mean just follow him off. No, follow me off a cliff. It means do what I'm doing, like the game we used to play as kids.
Yeah.
Follow the leader meant do as I do.
Yeah.
And you're going to get the same results. I started thinking, my goodness, this path gets narrower, creating this new path. And anytime I start wandering in the weeds of my old path, I can remember now, wait, there's a shortcut. If you just start thinking along these lines, if you treat the concern, and it's funny because you talked about treat the concern, and Florence Scovel-Shinn just let us off the hook with a silly example that worked where even if you start worrying about something else, well, thank goodness, because now that previous thing that you were worrying about, now there's no obstacle in its way to now it just to, you know, the shortcut is God's always working. Yeah. The only delay is I'm worried he's not.
Right. Yes, that's so true.
Well, you know, I love the whole thing about paths, using paths as an analogy and a metaphor for what we're doing. And it could be said that if we look out in front of us and we see the path, we can walk it if we want, but it's not our path. Someone else made that path. You and I are destined eventually to create new paths for ourselves. And so we want to see and celebrate the deep grass because that's where our new path is going to show up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's where like the second part of the game kicks in. Which is, okay, I'm thinking more affirmatively now, but can I really be willing to trust my intuition and act on it or God's guidance and follow through on it? Because we changed the word on this show from comfort zone, Like, we take that literally now when we sing the song about Jeff Comfort. It's a comfortable zone to be in. But we're not talking about what most people call the comfort zone. We call it the stagnant zone. Because it really is a stagnant zone. I've walked in this circle for so many years.
Yeah,
it doesn't feel that great, but you know what? I'm used to it.
Right. And what you said is so important, because we may not like the street signs we were following before, but once we stop following them, we realize, holy smokes, they were making some things seemingly easier, because now we need to really believe there's something within us that's guiding us. Yeah. So we really have to take on a childlike spirit of adventure to live this way, because it can feel quite wild, quite literally to our brain. It feels like insanity. We are going off of the map, and it's the most sane thing to do, but it can feel really, really insane. I was just thinking about this with regards to path with our show right now, because I was appreciating the fact that we have Wayne in talking to you and me.
I know.
Daryl and I, with some exceptions like Unity of Santa Barbara or Daryl, Unity of Diamond, we've had challenges sitting in churches, or because we want to ask questions. We always have questions. We have an intuitive sense of how this stuff works. We practice it. So what have we done? We created a path where we've lured the minister to talk to just us in the back of the, we're the guys who were causing trouble in the back of the church, but we've created a new path where now we're the host of a show, and now it's okay. And we get to ask all the questions that we want to ask.
There you go.
Yeah, perfect. We get to have the ministers that in our old way of thinking, and if we did it the old way we were used to, would feel intimidated to ask, because we wouldn't want to look bad in front of everyone, or we wouldn't want to say, I've thought that too, because we might get scolded by someone, or the other parishioners might not like us, or the minister might get mad. And now we have this place where we're talking to people like you, who we respect, and we get to hear, and our listeners, because it doesn't feel like there's anyone else here, even though people are listening, and there's many, many people listening.
Yeah.
But because it's just us, we get to let our guard down. We can be ourselves. We could talk with authority. And I mean that not in like the same thing with the word demand. We don't mean in the negative, bombastic.
Authoritarian.
No, meaning I can speak from my true identity. I could reveal my true self here without feeling someone might not like what I say, or it may sound silly. And look at how it's benefiting all of us. Yep. It's incredible. I never thought of our show like that. That's great.
Yeah.
And what's so special about this for me is how very organic this is. I don't know what people think about how this show comes together. I don't know if you ever talked about that with them, but I'll say for this one, there's absolutely no rehearsal. The first word I spoke to either of you is when Ed said hello, about 2 minutes to the hour when we first came live. And I got from you via email a Joyce Kramer quote, and that's it. That's the total preparation on my side for the show. And so we're on the edge here, you know. Yeah. I don't know what questions are coming. You don't know what questions are coming until you ask them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this is very organic and very real. I think it's the most useful kind of truth talking is when we do it organically like this. That's the best word I can think of.
Well, you know what? I've been thinking a lot about this phrase, and we, as a result of just the way this show comes together, I mean, we don't plan to have it organic. We actually think we're going to read this and we're going to talk about that, but then it ends up, and this is the phrase that I'm giving an affirmative connotation to, and it's winging it. And I like to think because every time that was shared, for the most part, from a coach or somebody, well, I'll just go in there and wing it. They were actually saying, listen, man, forget about taking this too seriously. You got to go in there and ride on the back of an angel. You need to go in there and trust, and you're going to wing it, and it'll work out. So we're winging it here, folks.
Isn't it interesting?
It means spontaneous. It means be spontaneous and boom, God will be there.
Isn't it interesting that Unity of Santa Barbara just got those wings from Unity Village? Yeah, because you're talking about this right now.
Well, because Unity Village isn't winging it anymore.
Yeah. There's a quote. I was the inclusion specialist for our district for a while, and I think I was like the real inclusion specialist because I didn't have a credential for it. I just love including people because it's God is inclusive. God includes everything. So I brought that to the table, and I read a quote, and I don't usually like lean any more towards this word revolution, but I think of it as evolution or transformation. But the quote was this that said, revolution occurs when the people who were defined as the problem gain the power to redefine what the problem really is, like, you know, something like that. It's revolution occurs when the thing that looked like the problem actually gains a voice and is like, no, that's not the problem. Here's what's going on. So that's what's happened with us. We had a lot of questions in the back of the church, so we went out on our own through God's, Jesus sent us into the weeds in the form of Mike Dugan going, why don't you guys do a radio show?
Yeah.
10 years later, now... no problem. The ministers come love being on the show. We all get recharged together. We've become ordained by the universe to be ministers ourselves. This has become our ministry, and now we're all having fun. No problem.
and Wayne, I just want to let you know, every guest we've had has either come through somebody else that we love and enjoy saying, oh, like you. I mean, John Strickland out of the blue. We called him out of the blue because he was going to be sharing a little something at Unity of Santa Barbara. And then we invited him to come on the air, which he's been on many times now. And he said, oh, you should have my friend Wayne Manning on. And we said, okay, that's it. And we sent it out. Or we'll have hunches or inspired ideas. Someone we read an article. Oh, we should invite them. Or someone we've seen or heard of. And we should invite them. And we've noticed the ones that get right back to us and say, all right, I'll do it. You know, those are the ones we know it's going to be a great show. Early on, we used to think we had to keep after the ones we didn't hear back until we corralled them into the show. We didn't really twist their arm, but we would, you know, oh, maybe we should hit them up again.
Yeah.
And if they did end up on the show, they weren't the perfect match.
Right.
They were okay, but it wasn't I feel high as a kite. And so now, if we don't hear back after an email, we don't even bother sending another one.
Yeah.
And when we hear back right away through text or email, we're like, this is going to be a great show.
Yeah. Or if there's like too many questions of a certain concern, like if they don't feel the spark, we kind of we follow the hunch, you know?
Yeah,
like
we don't.
When we got your message, it was something like, sounds like fun. If John says it's good, I'll be there. We're like, we know. Well,
let me tell you the funniest thing about John's call to me. John texted me and said, hey, I just recommended you to a couple of guys named Daryl and Ed. They do a program on YouTube called Funniest Thing, and they're really great. You'll enjoy it. So if they call you, you know, you'll know what it's about. And my first thought was, okay, now what's John Boy getting me into now? John's not above a practical joke or two. So I quickly Googled you guys. And then I said, okay, at least at first glance, these guys are legitimate and this is probably going to be fun. And I actually listened to one of the shows and I thought, this is a terrific format. And so I didn't have any problem saying,
that's beautiful.
I'm happy to come be here.
That's beautiful, man.
And I love that this is like outside of any ecclesiastical kind of feel or, you know, it's not, this ain't church.
Right.
You know? That's right. This is three guys talking about what some stuff that's important to them and stuff they believe. And if we talk about it in a useful way, it helps people who hear it. You know, and that's always good.
Yeah. You know, I was just looking at my phone because I was trying to find that revolutions quote, but And I just want to say one last thing about that, because it was something to the effect of revolutions occur when people who are defined as the problem gain the power to redefine what the problem is. And so for Daryl and I, the problem has tended to be that the spirit, the joy, is missing from the teaching. That has been one of the central problems, the joyous impulse, the ability to wing it, to apply it to your everyday life, sometimes goes missing through the structure of the way these things are taught. So we've gained the power through this to redefine for ourselves and our listeners and viewers what we have found the problem in our lives was in the past, and share that with people. Now, some people are married to the institution and they don't want to hear that. So it appears that we're trying to rile them up, or we're just being sticklers for the old time teachings, but that's not it at all. We have found truth through the Fillmore's teachings, through May Roland, through Ernest Holmes, Emmett Fox, through Florence Scovel Shinn, through you, through all these people. And it's not just, we're not just troublemakers who are like trying to have fun. The fun is the fruit of living this way, and it is essential to true learning, to me, and to transforming our world, because I see it in my own life, and we see it in our own lives. And that's when we say, funniest thing, this happened today. Like, my ear healed because I treated the concern, and I was loving to everyone I met, and now my ear in less than 24 hours is clear. Like, these things are exciting and fun, and we're laughing, and it breaks us out of our box, which is Daryl's book, Break Out of Your Box. If anyone hasn't gotten it yet, I recommend it. It's a great daily reader as well. But, I mean, the stories can be read. They're short stories, and it just boosts you. But that's one thing. Like, if Daryl's not feeling the spirit, and I was always like this too, but I had gotten kind of complacent, he'll run out of the room. And I was always the same way. I can't handle it. It's just death to me. And Jesus said, I think it was in maybe it was in the Daily Word, but I read a great Wayne writing that was about, you can't put new wine into old skins because it will burst through the old skins. And that's like, sometimes the joy of the Lord bursts through my skin. I start, like my students, we need to move and feel it and express it and make a joyful noise, because Jesus said, the letter of the law killeth. The spirit's what gives it life. If the spirit's missing, the letter just becomes death. I need to have the spirit with it. And so many people need the spirit to learn.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
I'm convinced if Jesus were to speak to us today, the first thing he would say was, people, lighten up just a little bit.
Yes.
Just lighten up.
Yes.
And the other thing I like that you mentioned about this not being, you're going to have to say that big word because it's going to tongue twist me,
ecclesiastic.
Ecclesiastic is, that's what blew my mind in the beginning, Wayne. When I was in the military and I was being introduced to this stuff, I was meeting ordinary men who are in the military can apply this. Ordinary, guys wearing business suits will go meditate. I thought you had to wear robes. And I was so this is like an everyday thing, like 20th century stuff. And it was just made it so attractive to me. When I saw it like that, like there's police officers I'm meeting that actually do this stuff and meditate, and they don't think it's like, they're not like making a big deal out of it, like they have to go into a shrine to do it. I just sit in my car and breathe and relax and think of good things I'd like to see forecasted in my day. I'm like, really? That's it? Like, why? Because I always thought like you had to go through an intermediary, like a priest, like they're the ones who know, or a minister, but I can't have it. Now I'm like, you mean, wait, I can live it? Yeah. It's like so exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
Practice, practice, practice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wayne, you want to read the reading, or did you want to say something first? I didn't want to cut you off.
Oh, well, I just wanted to, where the heck was it here? There's a wonderful quote, Daryl, that speaks to the path growing more narrow that we talked about earlier. Ursula K. Le Guin. I don't know if you know this quote, but it's fabulous. She says, the truth is that as a man's real power grows and his knowledge widens, ever the way he can follow grows narrower. until at last he can go the only way he can.
Wow.
Yeah. Brilliant.
And that's when we are on our path. When it's the only way to go, then we're on our path and no one else's.
That's freedom.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. So we're talking about Joyce Kramer's wonderful work.
Right.
So here we go. It starts with an affirmation. I give thanks for my unlimited supply of both seen and unseen blessings. And boy, that's so important, the unseen ones, is to acknowledge them as well. That those are my words. Sorry.
Yep.
Joyce says, do you think in terms of what you have or in terms of what you lack? Regretting what you do not have is the quickest, easiest way to unhappiness. You'll always have available material for your unhappiness if you want it. If you have this habit of thinking what you lack, change it. One of the most effective ways to experience more is to give thanks for what you have. If you can be happy with and grateful for what you have right now, then anything extra you receive only adds to your happiness. Be radiantly joyful because of your present blessings. They are gifts of God to you. Thus, you will open out a way for even more good to come into your life. And then she closes with this quote from Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Mm.
And remember, eagles wing it all the time.
Yes, they do.
Bingo. Bingo.
Now, Ed, do you have a story about Wayne that we he may do. Not realize we dug up from the archives?
Yeah, so Wayne, by the way, are you up to anything? Are you speaking or writing, or are you just freewheeling and winging everything these days? What are you doing?
Today, I spend most of my time with a group called the Academy for Coaching Excellence in Sacramento. I'm one of the principals of it's a coaching school for business and life coaches. And also we do personal transformation courses. So that's most of my work, and it's all informed by my Unity background.
So how do people find that?
How would people find you?
acecoachtraining.com.
We'll put that link in the YouTube video description, and as well as the podcast.
Can I do you one better?
Yes.
Can we give folks, am I allowed to offer folks a gift?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put in the chat space a link that will go to that website, but it also goes to a 30-day gratitude journal, a formatted way people can practice gratitude, which is one of the points of today's program.
Oh, great. Perfect. What a coincidence.
All they have to do,
wow,
using that link that I just, did I send it yet? I didn't send it yet. There it is. All they have to do is sign up for our Academy mailing list, download the journal, and then if you don't want the emails, I don't, opt out again. I don't mind that. What we want to do is get the gratitude journal into folks' hands who Wonderful. Are doing this program. It's like a PDF thing, and it has a room for 30 days of keeping track.
Wow, I love that.
What it's grateful for. When you read that thing at the end of 30 days, it's amazing what we have looked back on with gratitude.
Oh my goodness. I'm going to
opt into the mailing list, download the journal, and then if you don't like the email, you're going to get some emails from us. Of course, that's what that part of it's about, but you don't have to hang around if you don't want to. I think you're going to like what you see on the Academy website and the emails that you do get. But you be the judge of what you want to get in the future.
Yeah.
But get the gratitude journal now. I think you'll enjoy it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Indy, will that link be able to be on the screen for people too?
I copied it. Yep. Just check the description below.
Okay, cool. Description below. That's so funny because I've been doing a lot of gratitude journaling lately. And when I was meditating the other day, You know when you have that moment you slip into like the different waves, and I just heard the voice inside tell me more journaling. So this is perfect. I got to get the journal. Yeah.
And you know the simplest form, do we have time still?
Yeah.
The simplest form of that is like a little three-ring something by one's bedside, and make it a practice. Everybody can start doing this right now. Just before you lie down to go to sleep, pick up that little pad and a pencil and write down three things that you're grateful for today, that the day that's just gone. Write down three things. And it could be very simple things. It could be the sunset. It could be a call from a friend you haven't heard from, you know, forever. Three things. And if your mind says, I can't think of anything, say thank you for sharing and write down something anyway.
Yes.
That's three things. And then at the end of 30 days, look back on those 90 things you've written down. And just, it's incredibly amazing what how that good then comes in a big pile right on. Yeah. The good piles on, you know, when we do that. So, and this journal is a little more formal way of doing that with some quotes and things in it that are useful.
Yeah, you know, it's like opening, we're talking about a new pathway or a new door that says thank you over the top.
And yes.
So much good comes in through the thank you door. So, all right, we're not sure how accurate this source was, but...
I think John Strickland got us this one.
Okay, so anyway, one day Wayne Manning visited his doctor. The doctor checked him over before commenting.
Mr. Manning, it looks like you get a fair bit of exercise.
Wayne replied.
Oh, yeah. In fact, just the other day, I walked 5 miles over rugged terrain as I climbed over rocks and trees. I also waded along the edges of a lake, pushing my way through tall thistles, and even slid down sand slopes while getting sand in my eyes.
Impressive. The doctor was quite impressed.
Well, you are certainly a dedicated outdoor enthusiast, Mr. Wayne.
Wayne smiled.
Not really, doctor. I'm just a really bad golfer. Mr. Well, Wayne.
The sad thing is, that sounds like John, and it sounds like me.
Now,
sounds like me. Both things are true.
We have an oldie but goodie here, Wayne. We're going to see if know this tune.
Tilt that mic down if you can.
Yeah. What do we do, this way?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay, hold on a second. So, we looked online for your bio. We went to Unity, Truth Unity, but we found out you were like kind of Ringo in the Beatles. Your Janet came up as the rock star. Like
the
they might have said a sentence about you. That's all I could find besides an amazing writing I found as well. But do you want to just say any words about Janet and like her place in Unity, Janet Manning? Just about her music,
her legacy.
Her legacy.
Yeah, it comes in two ways, and for the most of the Unity world, it's her music. She's known throughout the movement for the songs that she left, and then secondly, the stories and plays that she put together. There's something that still circulates about Unity's birthday. Back in the 90s, the 100th anniversary, Janet wrote an entire play that was staged at Unity Village all that year at retreats and so on. So it's just her creativity as a musician and a writer, and then as important, her teaching and mentoring of students, because she was in the ministerial school along with me and some others as teachers for a number of years. And the people who have had her as their teacher are incredibly grateful even today. And then, sadly, Janet died in 2017 with the result of Parkinson's, complications of Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. But what a thing she left.
Yes, and we stumble across one that we love.
It goes perfect with this show. It's usually, we sing a funny little ditty at the end of this, but we found the postcard called I Feel Like Saying Thank You online.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell? You remember that postcard?
that she had made that has the song on it? Do you recall this? It tells you how to play the song.
I don't recall the postcard.
We'll put the picture up on the video, but it's an awesome little postcard, and
it has all the chords.
Has all the chords, yeah. And I did my best in the last couple days to learn it. So it goes la 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 la. La 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 la. I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like saying thank you to this world of mine. I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like saying thank you 'cause I feel so fine. The road runs up to meet me. The sun comes out to greet me. The maple tree keeps telling me to stand up tall. The breezes blow to tease me. The roses grow to please me. That's why in winter, summer, spring, or fall, I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like saying thank you to this world of mine. I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. I feel like saying thank you 'cause I feel so fine. I've got my legs for jumping. I've got my heart for pumping. I've got my eyes to scrutinize each passing cloud. I've got my nose for smelling. I've got my lips for telling each happy thought I'm thinking right out loud.
Yeah.
I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like saying thank you to this world of mine. I feel like saying thank you, thank you, thank you. I feel like saying thank you 'cause I feel so. Get ready now. La 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 la.
I'll tell you what.
Vin Manning, we love you, buddy.
Visit DarylAndNed.com to easy links to everything we do.
Thank you for listening to The Funniest Thing with Daryl and Ed. Listen in as these unlikely saints share more real-life stories of how surrendering to divine order always leads to better-than-expected outcomes. This program has been made possible by God through automated monthly transfers from Daryl and Ed's credit cards.
Recording your podcast at home or using cheap gear or spending all your time editing. Or
here at Chobo, we have podcast studios, podcast editing, podcast distribution, podcast clips, and don't forget the snack bar. Completely automate your podcast or just delegate the work you don't want to do.